Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you. We magnify you. Lord, I'm asking right now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, "If They Did It Then, We Can Do It Now." Let me say that again. If they did it then, we can do it now. As you can see, I found this photo, and let's just say that is during the time of Job, okay? And then our modern era to the right, okay? They lived the sanctified life. Job did. We're going to see in the scriptures here. My question is, can we live a sanctified life? Or do we live like the world? So let's go here to Job 1. We're gonna look at the first 12 verses here. And here we go. And it reads, "There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil." I want you to catch that for a moment. He shunned evil, meaning he didn't allow anything, any evil to come to his eyes or to his ears. He shunned it, okay? And he feared God. And this is why he was special to the Lord, because this was a choice that he had. No one told him what to do. He just had that love and passion for the things of God. Look at this, verse 2. "And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East." This right here was the Elon Musk of the day. Okay, this guy had it all. He was the wealthiest man, and yet the wealth didn't overrule him. He still had a passion for God. He feared God, and he shunned evil. Let's go to verse 4. "Now his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them." Did you catch that? He wouldn't sanctify them, meaning he set them apart, prayed for them, admonished them, encouraged them, edified them. He built them up. That's what sanctification means, being set apart for the purpose of God. "And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus Job did regularly." So he was covering them with prayer. "Oh God, maybe if they missed what they did, God, would you cover them and pray?" Listen, this is what we see intercessory prayer warriors do. They pray. They pray for us. They pray that, "Oh God, watch over this brother. Watch over this sister. Oh God, help them go through." How many of you know people that maybe have backslidden? Did you know that God has not forsaken them? The Bible says God will leave the 99 to go get the one. But God is also looking for those who would cry out, say, "Oh God, have mercy. Oh God, bring that one back. bring that back into the fold. And this is what Job would do for his children, constantly pray for them. He was a man of God. And so look at verse 6 here. Now there was a day when the sons, of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Now look at, you know, until you read Job, this is a fascinating now paragraph here, chapter here in chapter 1. And Satan also came among them. This is old Slewfoot. Look at this. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth. So this lets us know he has access to our world here. And he also has access into heaven to go and speak to the Lord. Wow. This is our arch enemy. The one that hates us, that wants to destroy us, that wants us to turn against God. Look at this. So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? To me, it looks like God is boasting about this young man, huh? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Wow. Can that be said of us? Can we go as far as that today? And if not, I challenge us to be like Job and watch God do the miraculous in your life. You want to see souls get saved? You want to see God bless your children, your home? Well, guess what? Shun evil and get close to God. Don't allow the things on television and the things in this world to get to you. Shun them off and draw close to God and watch him do the miraculous. So Satan answered the Lord in verse 9. Look at this. Let's go to verse 9 up here. Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Uh-oh. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out for the presence of the Lord. The rest of the story, because we could go on, there's 42 chapters. We just don't have time to read all 42 chapters. But the story basically goes on. Satan was allowed to go down and do destruction on his family. So what did Satan do? He killed all his children. He killed off all his livestock. He became a father with no children. All his wealth was gone within days. And yet, during that whole time, he did not blame God. He did not curse God. So the story of Job throughout the years has fascinated Bible readers from the ancient of days to this present day today. Because what's fascinating is this. Satan goes up and talks to God about people here on this earth. If he talked about Job, what do you think he's saying about you? Oh, look at so-and-so. What are you going to do? They're looking at porn. They're going to clubs and drinking. They're watching R-rated movies with cursing that's out the door. Do you think Satan's out there doing that? I'm sure he is. Because he is the accuser of the brethren. So he's looking for any kind of fault and failure in your life so that he can put you on blast. He wants to put you on blast with God. And his whole goal is to get God to turn on you. That's his whole goal, is to get God to turn on you. And so his sufferings and losses are often used as an example, saints of God, of human endurance under the most trying conditions. He was tried. My goodness. How many of you have children? How many of you want children? Yes. Amen. Well, just imagine the children that you were praying for, and they finally came. And there were several of them, and you all had special place in your heart for all of them. And then they're all gone in one day, taken away from you. Wouldn't that crush your heart? It would crush you in a way that you can't even comprehend it. You wouldn't be able to comprehend it. It would be so tragic that it could take someone into depression. But that wasn't the case with Job. And when people encounter tough times through the loss of loved ones and even possessions, they often relate it to the story of Job. Job's here for a reason. And this morning we're reading it because there are people that are going through things in their life that they're not alone. My daughter in Arkansas, about 8 months ago, she got hit with the virus. And for 3 months, she had these anxiety things, attacks, and she didn't know what to do. And I don't know how many doctors she went to see. And she would call crying, and we would pray for her. She would call her mom, pray for her. Everyone was praying for her. Her church, she goes to a huge church. There's like, I don't know, 3,000 attend there. And they got these big ministries there. And they would have a lady call every morning and read scriptures to her. Every morning. And they would come and just, a sister would come from their church and minister to her. And if it wasn't because of the love of God and the grace of God, she would be in a place where it would feel like she was alone. But people rallied and they tended her need, and she came through, and she's back to normal now. The whole family's here. They're at their former church there in Kearney Mesa right now. But their whole family's down. They flew in, and I was, "How you doing, Sophia?" "I'm doing okay, Dad. I'm doing okay, Dad." But she was going through a hideous time, a horrific time. And she thought that she was dying. You ever had an illness where you thought you were going to die? Well, she thought she was dying. And a neurologist told her that it didn't look good. But we prayed. And so I remember the day I flew over there. And we were in a parking lot, and I felt the anointing of God. I felt the power of God right there as we were praying. I laid hands on her, and whatever thing that was on her, I cursed it in the name of Jesus. And I'm not saying that it was what I prayed for. It was what everyone was praying for. It was everybody's faith that it came together. And by the grace of God, God delivered her. There are things that we encounter that sometimes we can't explain. But yet God is in the midst of it. Did you know that he will never leave you nor forsake you? Did you know that he will always be with you? Our great aspect of Job was his patience and his endurance. which are the trademarks of his integrity. Job had integrity. The early church revered him as one of the prophets, noting his exemplary, his patience, as a worthy example for believers facing persecution and hardship. You know, right now we're not facing persecution in our nation, but I know nations that are being persecuted every day. We get a magazine called The Book of Martyrs. And if you're in Iran and they find that you're a believer, they hang you right away in the public square. So their churches are underground. They're the true born-again church. They have the religious church that they allow without any Bibles, but the ones with Bibles, they're underground. And so the book of James identifies Job right up here. Look at this in James 5:10. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and what? Merciful. God is mercy. He's a God of grace. I don't care what predicament you find yourself in. God is there to help you. Can I get amen? Amen. God is there to pick you up. God is there to restore you. God is for you, not against you. But Satan wants you to think that when you go through something extreme, that God is against you. He's not. He's for you. And he will help you. Job's story was greatly impacted and strengthened society through the portrayal of a man who triumphed over all his trials, his temptations, by remaining a man of integrity. That's one of the key words, the key characteristic of Job, is that he was a man of integrity. Saints of God, can you be known as a person of integrity amongst your peers, amongst your family, amongst your congregants, your friends? This is what people want to see. They want to see that. They want to see integrity in people so that they can have a sense of hope. Yes, someone that lives with integrity gives them an opportunity to live that way too. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so let's look at this. We're going to look at three factors of Job. We're going to look at the righteousness of Job, the steadfastness of Job, and the integrity of Job. And so let's start off with the righteousness of Job. The Bible reveals that Job was perfect and upright. This certainly was not accidental, and it did not come naturally. It was by his personal choice that he chose what? To fear God and shun evil. It was his choice. He didn't have a manual. It was his choice. Job was good all the way to the core entirely because he wanted to be. So my question is, do you want to be like Job?
Yes.
Do you strive for perfection? We're never going to be perfect, but do you strive for perfection? And when we slip and fall, do you get right back up and you dust off and you repent and say, God, forgive me, and keep moving forward? Or do we wallow in the mire? That's right. We get up and go. Amen?
Amen.
We don't stay down there no more. See, as an unbeliever, we used to live down there. We used to wallow it. You've heard it said, you can take a swine out of the mud mire, bring them in, give them a nice milk bath, put a bow on him, open the front door, he runs right back to the mud. That's his element. Well, that was our element, right? When we were as unregenerated, we just wanted to do the things of the world. Amen? Until God saved us. Radically saved us. How many of you are radically saved?
Yes.
Oh, come on. Radically.
Yeah.
A custodian from Horizon Christian Fellowship led me to God with $500 of crystal meth in my socks. And you know, by the grace of God, I only boast in Christ. I didn't go through 1 second of withdrawal. I was totally delivered of alcohol, drugs, marijuana, all these vices of Satan. All the devices, all these things that grip my heart, he set me free. And just through a prayer of faith. And that's been 37 years now. I got saved at the age of 30. No, 36 years. I keep giving myself another year. I turned 36, right? I mean, 66 on December 5th. So for 36 years, God has kept me. God has kept you. God has kept you. Always remember, it's God who's keeping you. Amen? He's the one that's keeping you. It is important for us to choose to live righteously and godly because we do influence our world. Do you know that people look to you? People look at your life? So, when you radically got changed, there's still people, I'm assuming, around your sphere of influence who are still not saved. Can I get an amen? But they look at your life now, right? And they go, wow. And after a while, they see that what happened to you is real. It's just not some fad that has come and gone. It is real. I remember my family thought, oh man, what's he on now? How long is this going to last? Well, 36 years have gone by. It's not a fad. It's a true calling from God. When God calls you, when God saves you, he's the one that sanctifies you, sets you apart. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so, let's look at Job's relationship with God. Job chose to have a relationship with the Lord. No one forced or coerced him into serving the Lord. He basically just wanted to. Likewise, saints of God, each of us should seek to have our own relationship with the Lord. And I truly believe every one of us in this room does. You know, let me just say this. This worship team that worshiped just now, I believe within all my heart that they have a true relationship with the Lord. Because you could feel the anointing when they were singing. It was pure. It was unto the God. And we should recognize that God wants much more than just a one-time encounter. He wants our attention every day, day and night. Amen?
Amen?
Especially when we wake up. I'm always waking up saying, God, will you bring another divine encounter that I may share you, that I may speak the things of God to someone that don't know you? And let me just say this. He will do just that. He will bring someone that you've been praying for, and all of a sudden you go, that's the person. And then you start speaking the things of God. He has provided his love to mankind in hopes that we would respond with a reciprocating love for him. A love that doesn't end. You know, since I've been saved, I can't speak for you. I'm just speaking of my heart. I don't think there's been a day that has gone by that I cannot say within myself, I didn't love God that day. I love him every day. I love him every moment. He's my all in all. He's my everything. And that's what happens when he fills you with the Holy Spirit, because God is love. And when he fills you with his love, it overwhelms you. And you know what I love about when you get filled with the Spirit of God is the hate you had, the bitterness you had, it melts away like butter. And now you have love for the person you thought you hated. And you're not afraid to go talk to them about the gospel. You see, God also seeks us out. Do you know that he sought you out? I know he sought me out because I wasn't looking for him. He sought me out. Because look what 1 John says. We love him because he first loved us. Listen, God loved us before the foundation of the world. God already knew your name before the world was even formed and fashioned. He already knew you. And he knew the day he was going to come, interrupt your life, and then draw you to him. It's time to come home. Wow. And there has not been one day of regret. Can I get amen? Amen. You see, the Bible is clear. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not what? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then Paul wrote to the Corinthian church this, but if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. You see, when you truly love God, people will know that you're in love with God. You know why? Because now you want to do the things that God is asking you to do. People see that you are living a sanctified life, set apart. When I got saved by the grace of God, I'm serious. Within 2 days, I must have cut off 30 friends that I had. I couldn't be with them no more. And they would call. And I wouldn't ignore them. I'd call them. I mean, I'd call them back, or if I picked up the phone, I would tell them that I gave my heart to Jesus. I go, would you like to come to church? They never called again. And if you're polite with them that way, they'll either come to church with you or they'll just forsake you. Either or. You would love for them to come. Praise God. Look what Paul also wrote in 2 Timothy. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Why is he saying that? Because you look back in Job's life, he chose to do that. So God is reminding us to depart from iniquity as well. Amen? Amen? You see, saints, God knows who loves him and who does not. The one that doesn't love him is the one that cares less about the things of God. They may say praise the Lord when they're around certain people, but you've heard me say this, they go home and still live like the devil. They put on a facade. They still do the things of the world. They still look at horrible things. If they truly love God, they would forsake it. And they would say, uh-oh, I can't do this no more. This offends my God. I know this is not a popular message, but I believe this is a message for all of us. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Every one of us, including me. Including for the one that's bringing the message. I'm not exempt. In fact, Job's good choices and lifestyle stood out from the rest of mankind and brought him special favor and attention from the Lord. Let's look at this. Job's concern for his family. Unlike some modern men who abandon their wives and children in pursuit of their own concerns, their own pleasures, Job was a good husband and a model father. Even in the midst of turmoil, he still loved his wife when all his children were gone. I need to ask you something, because God had revealed this to me. When the last thing that happened to Job was boils came on him. And pus was everywhere. He looked like a man that was just moments away from death. And his wife turned to him and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Why do you suppose she said that? Did she say that out of spite? What would come to mind why she said that? Why don't you just curse God and die? Okay. So, during this time, and during that dispensation, there was a lot of idolatry. There was a lot of heathenistic kind of people that were idolaters. And one way that they would do, and then God would kill them, they would curse God. So she looked at it like there's no cure for him. And he's suffering. And there's nothing, she was like, she was rendered useless. She couldn't do anything. So God gave me a revelation. She said that because if he cursed God, then he would kill him to take him out of his misery. It wasn't out of a spiteful saying. I said, "Oh, wow, God. Thank you, God." It was a way for him to be relieved of his suffering. And yet, what did Job say? "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Amen. He still didn't curse God. He still was thankful. Wow. Jesus. This man was something else. You see, Job's integrity became evident in the great concern he had for his family's well-being. Look at this in 1 Timothy. "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." You know what unbeliever in King James is? An infidel. I'm not going to call out no one's name up here, but I've known some men that ran off with other women and abandoned their wife and kids. Shame on them. That's all I have to say. Just shame on them. Amen. But it happens. It happens. And what do you do when you're faced with that trial? It's a tough situation. Although Job sanctified his children continually, there is no clear explanation what Job did to sanctify them. We don't know how he did it, other than we just read that he sanctified them to set them apart. We see this again in verse 5 of Job. Look at this. "So it was when the days of feasting had run their course, Job would send and sanctify them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus Job did regularly." So we can just look at that as a covering. He covered them. "And he may have performed the ritual of laying his hands on them, a prayer to God for mercy and for forgiveness." Praise God. And so we're going to look now at the steadfastness of Job. He was steadfast. Praise God. And God is calling the church to be steadfast in the days that we live in. Did you know there's more obstacles now to get our attention than there was then? They didn't have iPhones back then. I went to the mall the other day, And everyone walking around is this. They're not even looking at people no more. They're on their phone. It's like, where's everyone at now? They're not concerned about engaging with one another. It's who texted me, who Facebooked me, who liked me. Well, they didn't like my comment. Why? We get that way, don't we? We live in a whole different world. But Job was steadfast in the things of God. Look what Paul wrote to the Hebrew church and said this: therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, I mean, there's angels around us. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Praise God. This is what we are being exhorted in the Word of God, is to learn how to endure this race. It's a race. And I know some of us can physically run faster than others. It's not about who gets to the line first. It's about getting there. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen? Just get there. Don't give up. Keep striving. And if you trip and fall, get up and run again. Don't lay there. Always remember what we read earlier. Old Slewfoot is there watching you so that he can go to God about you. He's the tattleteller. Remember back in the day we said, oh man, you narked on me. Remember that word? You narked on me. That's what he does. He narks on you. Praise God. Look at this. Job was not controlled by wealth. He lost everything. He went from Bill Gates money to welfare money. Oh, come on. He had nothing. Despite the loss of all his wealth, Job never became bitter or spiteful. Praise God. Man, you find $10 missing out of your wallet, someone's screaming. You're ready to chase down someone. Hey, I know I had $10 in here, huh? Oh, come on. Oh, help us, God. He was rich in material things, but he valued spiritual things more highly. Praise God. Job had his priorities in order. God first, people second, and things last. That was the order of how he looked at them. He perceived these things to be so. The loss of his children caused Job more grief than the loss of his possessions. He possessed his possessions while he had them. They did not possess him. He possessed them. They did not possess him. Did you catch that? In other words, if he had to let them go, he just let them go. Look what it says in 21 and 22 of Job 1. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Wow. Wow. He's a man's man. He's like a hero to me. I know some of us fall short in areas in our life. But I'm here to let you know that God will strengthen you. God will help you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Don't be discouraged. Because there are going to be moments of failure in our life. But God is with you. With his wealth taken and his children dead, Job had only his wife and friends to turn to for understanding and encouragement. And he had the three bozos to come visit him. Watch out when someone comes like one of them. One of them, was it Eliphaz? It was one of them that came and said, I think you sinned before God. That's the first thing that he came to his mind. You must have sinned. Wow. But we read the story that he didn't sin. God allowed him to be tested. And there are times when God's going to allow you and I to be tested. Can I get an amen? Amen. How many can honestly say you've been tested in life already? Yep. Oh, come on. Your marriage will be tested. You'll be tested on the job. You'll be tested in family members. You'll be tested everywhere. God is looking to see how you're going to handle it. Are you going to chew him a new mouth? Or are you just going to say, are you going to just slow your roll and say, whoa, wait a minute. Help me, God. Help me, God. Bible says, be slow to speak before you give an answer. It's easy to fly off the handle. How many are so blessed to know that he took away the bleepity bleeps in your life? That was the miracle for me. When God delivered me that day, that night, the custodian led me to the Lord. He took away that language too, that cursing mouth. It was like, I couldn't even find the words no more. Look at it like this. On a computer desktop, you can throw things in the trash bin, but then you can retrieve them. Well, he deleted the trash bin. So I couldn't, you know, so that you can't retrieve that no more. And that language was gone. And I give him all the praise and glory and honor. Because every other word was the bleep word. Bleepity bleep. I found an old, and I won't show it to no one. I found an old VCR. Remember the VCRs? Before the DVDs came, it was VCR. VHS, yes. And we had a Christmas party when I was working at Western Lumber in National City. And Brother Treen, you worked out there, didn't you? Western Lumber. Yeah. And I worked in the making trusses. I worked in the truss yard. And I was working in this area where we would produce these small trusses. It was called an Idaco machine. And we would pump. We'd make like 500 trusses a day. It was easy. You just put the nails down. You put the wood's already all cut for you. You just put them in place like a puzzle. And then they come in and smash the nails down. And they pop it up and you rack it. Just keep making them all day long. And someone came with one of those hand recorders, came by our area and just started interviewing us. And then later on they gave me a copy of it. And I remember it was a couple of years ago. I found it and I played it. I couldn't believe that was me. Every other word was the bleep word. Everything in the mouth that I had, I go, I can't believe how God just eradicated it, just ripped it out of me. And that wasn't me anymore. And that's the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. That's the love of God. Listen, when God gets a hold of your heart, He wants to do a mighty work in you. Can I get an amen? Amen. And there are some things that He doesn't leave undone. And one of the things that He needed to do for me was get rid of that mouth. Praise God. I'm so mighty, mighty thankful. We've been married now 27 years. And not one time. And she would tell you right now if I was lying. But not one time she's heard a curse word out of my mouth. And it boils down to this. Because I love God. I choose to love Him. I choose to honor Him. I choose to sanctify our marriage and our life and continue to do what He's called me to do. God's calling you, each and every one of you. To a plan that maybe you cannot see just yet. And He will reveal it to you. And when He does, you're going to know it's Him. Because He's going to just open a door that no man can shut. And you're going to walk in and serve Him gladly. Can I get an amen? Because He's a mighty God. He's an incredible God. Look at right here. He withstood discouragement from friends and family. In Job 2:9, then his wife said, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity?" She goes, "Curse God and die," as I just shared with you. She wanted him to die because he was full of boils and there was no doctor in the land that can cure him. Wow. But look how he responded. But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity?" And all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. Wow. You see, you and I, we can learn an important lesson from Job's comforters that came that day to see him. Three of them came, and some of them were in left field. I think all of them were in left field. Someone read that story, huh? They were in left field. Things are not always what they seem at first. That is why people make mistakes. They look at this. Education for intelligence. Wealth for happiness. Lust for love. They get confused about these things. Education is not for intelligence. Wealth is not for happiness. I don't care. You can have Bill Gates' money and still be miserable. Because you know what it'll turn? I don't want to keep it. I don't want to lose none of it. Oh yeah, and then you want more. See, saints, life is not always fair because bad things do happen to good people. And it does. Now let's look at this. He worshiped in the midst of his trial. He worshiped God. Job's integrity was most clearly seen in his continued desire to worship the Lord despite his circumstances. Can you worship God in the midst of your trial? Here's a true story. How many love to testify on things that God does? True story. In 2008, remember 2008, the market crashed. Every other house, I'm a real estate broker, so I know. Every other house in this area was in foreclosure. All the houses in East Lake, all the houses in Marietta and Temecula, foreclosure. And so what happened was the mortgage lenders at the time got caught with their hands in the cookie jar. What did they do? They would give loans to people just on good credit. So they would do income-based loans just on whatever your income was and your FICOs, but they didn't care. They just based it on your FICOs. If you couldn't afford it, they still gave you the loan. And so when the market crashed, everything went crazy. And we were in jeopardy. We were about ready to lose our home. And for 6-7 years, we were running away from Wells Fargo's bank trying to take our home. And finally the day came where we had no more resources to fight them. A guy calls me, his name is, he went to Temple Beth Shalom. He was a Jewish Mexican named Jacobo Levy. He goes, Pastor Fee, are you still fighting for your home? I go, yeah. He goes, I want you to call this lady. She'll help you. So she came to my house and she goes, we're going to write a letter to Wells Fargo. She goes, trust me. And we wrote the letter. 30 days later, came back and said, what you owe us, we've forgiven you. They forgave me $189,000. Totally forgave me $189,000. Gave me a brand new loan with a 3% interest rate for 30 years. I went from $4,500 a month payment to $1,850. And it was like an oh my gosh moment. And I heard the Lord speak to me. Because you have been faithful. Even through the midst of this trial, even in the midst of this economy, he goes, I'm going to show you my glory. And he did. Because during that time, we were still baptizing souls in the jacuzzi. We were still having church here. We were still doing what God called us to do. We didn't panic. We said, okay, God, if you take our home, you take our home. But God made sure we didn't lose this home because this home has been sanctified, set apart for him. It's for his glory. He owns the home. He's just asking us to be good stewards over it. That's it. I don't care what's the name on the title. Yeah, our name's on the title, but he owns the home. Bible said he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I share that because he can do anything. All things are possible through him who believes. I don't care what you're going through. God will see you through. Can I get an amen? Look what it says here in Job 23:10. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Wow. You see, he was a man of integrity. And God remembers that. And one of the things that he did is this. He refused to blame God. Yeah, they were trying to take our home. But I wasn't mad. And I wasn't blaming God. I was saying, God, you're going to keep us in this home somehow, some way. And look what he did. The average house to rent. This house right here, 3-bedroom, 2-bath. The average rental right now as we speak in 2024 is about $4,100. And we're paying $1,850. And it's not rental. It's our mortgage. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. And if he could do that for me, he could do that for you. Can I get an amen? God had me bring that subject up because there's someone here that needs a breakthrough. That needs a miraculous thing to happen in their life. Because God's able to do that. We serve a God that's mighty. We serve a God that's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. You have time for one more little story? I was working in El Cajon for my broker, Archer Segman. He goes, "Hey, Fee, there's a house. I can't sell it." He goes, "All the houses around there are selling left and right." He goes, "But I can't sell that house." I go, "Where is it at?" He goes, "It's in Chula Vista." He goes, "Will you do an open house for me?" I go, "Sure, Archer, I'll do that. Give me the address. 502 Douglas Street. Well, I pulled up, came in, sat here. Nobody came to the door. I was here from 11 to almost 5. Signs everywhere. And there were other houses, and people were looking at their houses up there, up the street. But no one came here. So I called up Arch. I go, "Arch, sorry, man, no one came to the door." He goes, "I'm baffled, Fee." He goes, "They're really good people. This is the third property that they purchased through me. Tom and Sandy Kozak, who lived here." I go, "I'm sorry, Arch." He goes, "Don't worry, Fee, lock it up." He goes, "I'll give you $50 for doing the open house." Oh, cool. 3 months went by, and he calls me up in his office. He goes, "Hey, Fee, I got the killer deal for you right now, and if you don't take it, I will." I go, "What?" He goes, "You know that house in Chula Vista? You did the open house?" "Oh, yeah, 502 Douglas Street." He goes, "I just got a call from the Kozaks. Their retirement home in New Mexico is completed. They got two mortgages now. They can't afford two mortgages. So, Fee, here's the deal. They said if you give them $3,000, they'll quit claim their name to your deed, to the deed to you. In other words, you won't have to go through a mortgage company. Wow. They'll just quit claim the deed to you for $3,000. I go, "What?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "And then a year will go by, you could refinance it in your name." Me and Yolanda, it was right there in the middle of the living room. We fell on our knees and we dropped the oil on the ground. And we cried and said, "Oh God, thank you, God." And we closed escrow in 10 days because there was no lender. We didn't care about a physical inspection. We were just thankful that we had a home. And so we've been here 27 years, and we never had to go through a mortgage company. Praise God. So you know how people have to come in through the front door? I'm talking about the mortgage lenders through the front door. God opened up the back door to come in. I'm sharing this because God can do these miracles like he did for Job. That was a miracle for us. It's unheard of in the times that we live in. But you know what? With God, all things are possible. Amen. You got to believe God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Here's the key though. Stay faithful to him. Stay in honor of him. Serve him with your whole heart, soul, and mind. He needs to be the forefront of your life. If he's the forefront of your life, if he's your all in all, he will then take care of all of your needs. according to his riches and glory. You want a house like this? He's got one already laid up for you somewhere. Just serve him. Serve him. He'll open up that door. He'll bless you beyond comprehension. Thank you, God. So he never blamed God. Look, I found in Ecclesiastes here. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the men of understanding, nor favor to them of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. And so if you trust God, it's not what you have, it's what he has and what he's willing to do for you. He's just looking for a heart that's steadfast upon him. Those of you that are married, love your wife, love your husband like he loves the church. Honor them, love them, nurture them, admonish them. Never look down on them. Never say bad things about them. Love them like you love yourself. And that'll take you a million miles. And then love your children the same way. And he'll bless you not just with children. He'll bless you with grandchildren. We have 8 grandchildren now by God's grace. Look at this in Matthew 5:45. That you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. You see, this is how God is merciful. God is good. Listen, the way to explain that is easy. My next door neighbor, I know him very well. They don't go to church. They're unbelievers. They party here at night. You can hear their music. They play and, you know, they're making a hoop and hollering out there. And we don't get mad because we were there at one time. We get it. You know, we get it. And we just go to our room because it's over there. And we get it when they have those times. But when God sends rain, he rains on their yard too. He gives them the same air that we breathe. So God is good to all his creation. He's good to everyone. And he's patient. He's patient. He knows the time when he comes to get you to be with him. He'll give you a mind to be saved and a heart to repent. And so he was rewarded. Job was rewarded for his what? His faithfulness. The story of Job has one of the happiest endings imaginable. I want you to catch this and we'll close. Right here in Job 42, look at this. Job 42:10-17. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. I need you to catch that. This was revelation to me. When's the last time you prayed for your friends? When's the last time you prayed for your church friends? When's the last time you prayed for the saints of God, your elders, your pastors, your deacons? When's the last time you prayed for them? When's the last time you prayed for your mom and dad and your grandparents and your cousins and your uncles? When's the last time you prayed for someone? You prayed that God would strengthen them, that God would help them, that God would bring them closer to them. Well, look what Job did. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he had to do something first. When he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Through praying for his friends, the ones that came and brought him false news. Look at this. Then all his brothers, look at this. All his sisters and all those who he had been acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they counseled him and comforted him, all the adversity that the Lord had brought him. He gave him new children. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Look at this. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He had also had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemia, the name of the second Keziah, the name of the third Keren Hapuk. Yeah. Look at this. In all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of what? Days. All because he was a man of integrity. He served the Lord out of choice. He was never forced to do that. My question is this. Are you willing to go that extra mile for him, for the Lord? Are you willing to recommit to prayer and fasting? Are you willing to pray for your friends? Are you willing to serve God in greater capacity than you have? Because the day you start getting a hold of the things of the Lord is when you're going to find yourself prospering in God. And God will replenish anything that has been depleted. He will replenish it. He'll shower down on it. And he will cause you to blossom before him. How many believe we serve Almighty God?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad. And thank you, God, for not allowing me to shout with this throat that's still on the mend. Thank you for not allowing me to cough up here, even though there were a couple of times I wanted to. Oh God, you're so good. You're so gracious to us. But I'm praying for those who have been watching. Maybe they never entered into a covenant with you. Maybe they never surrendered their life to the Lord Jesus. And it's very simple. It's by faith. All you need is to have the faith the size of a mustard seed and believe what God has done on the cross. If you never received the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that God would give you a wonderful gift, and that gift is salvation. It's the miracle of salvation. It's forgiving you of all your sins through the blood of Jesus. And so if that is you, and you want to be saved, and you want God to come into your life, pray this simple prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person. in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.